This charge I have received from my Father. So before we go any further, what we need to understand here is we're in the Gospel of John. And Tim Mackey, who's a biblical scholar, he also has this really cool resource called The Bible Project. They've got videos on YouTube. They actually have an app that you can download on your phone. And it's super cool. Highly, highly recommend it. Tim Mackey says that John believes that the Jesus we read about here in his gospel is alive, that he's real, and that he can change our lives forever. And so as we begin to have this conversation about John chapter 10, verses 1 to 18, let's have that kind of in the back of our heads. That what John wants us to understand is that Jesus is alive, that he is real, and that he can change our life forever. And so as we come to this chapter in John's gospel, we see that it's a conversation Jesus is having with some people, and he's using this metaphor of sheep and shepherds. And in biblical times, this was common language. Sheep and shepherds were something that they would see every day. It was sort of like cars that we see every day. And so he's using this example of these things that people, everyday kind of things. And when we get to verses 3 to 5, Jesus says to him, the gatekeeper opens. He's talking about the shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. And actually, right before this, Jesus has talked about thieves and robbers. And what Jesus is talking about this very strategically, because what he's talking about is he wants us and he wants his original audience to see him as the shepherd. Later on, he'll say, I'm actually the good shepherd. And what he's pointing out is he's not a thief and he's not a robber. He's not someone that uses coercion or trickery to kind of sway our opinion or sway us towards him. He's not a charismatic, you know, kind of cult leader who uses these trickery kind of things to convince us to be in a relationship with him. And he's not like a robber who would come in and use violence to sway people's actions, opinions to their will. You know, when you think of a robber, I think of a bank robber. Bank robber goes in with a gun and uses violence to go, give me the money. Or a thief sneaks into a house. And Jesus is saying, I'm neither of those. Later on, he'll say, I'm actually the good shepherd. But before we get there, there's a couple things in these first two verses that I want us to look at. He says, they hear his voice, and he calls them by name. It's really interesting that a shepherd actually has this bond with his sheep. Another kind of fun fact that I was reading about this week. It's sort of like if you have a pet. So for example, I have a dog. His name is Oswald. I don't just call him dog. I don't just go, get over there. But I have a relationship, a personal relationship with Oswald. I've named him. And it's similar with sheep and shepherds. Shepherds will name their sheep, and there's this almost intimate relationship between them and their sheep. And so this is what Jesus is talking about here. And actually, Jesus has kind of talked about this very personal relationship between him and us. Before, in Luke chapter 1, verse 7a, Jesus says, why, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. And what Jesus is saying here is, I know you. I even know every single hair on your head. I don't know about you, but I don't know every single hair on my head. And as you can see, I've got a lot. Previously in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 24, this is what God is saying about his personal relationship with us. The psalmist says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search me out, you search out my path and my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. This is what Jesus is talking about. That he's the shepherd. He knows his sheep. He calls them by name. He knows them so intimately. And surprise, we're his sheep. You know, as I was reading about this whole relationship between sheep and shepherds, there's an interesting story I came upon to kind of understand this sort of relationship that sheep have with their shepherds, because Jesus talks about the fact that sheep will recognize the shepherd's voice, that they won't listen to strangers. So much so that actually, this is really, really cool, that if a stranger calls out to the sheep using the same names, the sheep are able to actually identify the kind of nuances and tones in the voice of who's calling them. And so this is what Jesus is talking about when he says the sheep will recognize a stranger and flee from him, even if they use the proper name. And sometimes shepherds will actually, they'll call them by name, but they'll also have this tune that they'll make on a little tiny like reed pipe to kind of call the sheep. And again, if a stranger plays that same tune, the sheep know the nuances of their shepherd versus someone else. Isn't that really cool? I think that's really cool. So here's a story I came upon. In the Palestinian uprising in 1980, the Israeli army was frustrated with this little village outside of Bethlehem because they weren't paying their taxes. And so what they did, because they understood that shepherds have this kind of intimate personal relationship with their sheep. It's sort of like if they came in and they took your pets. If they took Oswald away from me, I'd be upset. And so they take all of these sheep away from these people and they put it in this giant, big, fenced-in barbed wire pen. Hundreds of sheep. This whole village. And a little while later, this woman actually came up, and this is a true story. This woman came up to one of the officers. And she was so distraught. She was in tears. She was weeping and wailing. And she went up to this officer. And she said, "Sir, can I have my sheep back?" Because her husband had actually died years before. And her animals, her sheep, were her livelihood. She had nothing else. And the officer kind of looked at her and was like, "There's hundreds of sheep in there. How am I supposed to tell which ones are yours and which ones are, you know, Sally's or Bob's?" You know? And she said, "Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not looking for you to get my sheep. I'll get my sheep." He's like, "Okay, sure." He's a little skeptical. And so the woman goes and gets her son. And her son pulls out this little flute and he walks into this caged off pen. And he begins to play this little tune. And after a little while, 25 sheep start perking up. And they go, "That's my tune. That's my song." And 25 sheep march out with this little boy. Isn't that really cool? That sheep will identify with their shepherd. That they know their shepherd's voice. They know their names. Just similar to like how, again, I know we talk about Oz a lot, but my dog, if I say, "Oswald, come here," or if I just say, "Oswald," he'll perk up because he recognizes his voice. As we continue on in this passage, we see in verses 7, 9, and 11, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Again, something else that we need to know about, we're learning tons about sheep this morning. You're going to walk away and go, what did I learn? I learned about sheep. I didn't really learn a whole lot about God. No, we're going to learn about God. Don't worry. but something to know about shepherds is in biblical times, a sheep's pen wasn't really how we understand a sheep's pen. Even shepherding was completely different. You see, when I think about shepherds and sheep, my idea is European kind of shepherds and sheep. I think about like fields and grass, and I think about like the rolling hills of Ireland or Scotland. That's what I think about. But to those who are listening to Jesus here, what they have in mind is that they live in villages and cities, and surrounding them is desert. There's not a whole lot of green. But every once in a while, in the spring, there's a wet season, and it rains and it rains, and that desert turns into life. And so what a shepherd will do is he'll actually find out where the best places are to bring his sheep. And at night, he'll bring his sheep back, and he won't put them into a fenced pen, but he'll typically put them in a cave. And as you and I know, caves aren't really made with doors. And so what the shepherd will do at night is he will actually lie down in the entranceway of the cave. And so when Jesus says, I am the door, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. When he says, I am the door of the sheep, this is what these Jewish people have in mind. Is that a shepherd literally becomes the door of the sheep pen. And as the sheep are going into the pen, what the shepherd actually does, and this is really cool, what the shepherd does is he inspects every single sheep to make sure that they're okay, to make sure that they aren't injured or wounded. And again, this is what the Israelites, the Jews and the Pharisees have in mind while they're listening to Jesus talking to them. And so when he says, I am the door, when he says, I know my sheep, what Jesus is saying is, I literally become the door. And as you enter into the flock, I will look at you individually. I'll check in with you and say, are you okay? Is everything all right? And just like a shepherd takes aside a wounded sheep to bandage them or put healing oils on them, Jesus will come alongside us, will enter into our journeys, and will begin to heal wounds, will begin to take care of us. I don't know about you, but that's mind-blowing to me. And keep in mind that, again, what John is talking about here is this whole life-changing thing that Jesus does in our lives when we begin to have a personal relationship with him. And Jesus, just like a shepherd, will find pasture for us. It's similar to what David says in Psalm 23, which Daniel read for us earlier in the service. The good shepherd leads his sheep to still waters and to life-giving pasture. And this is what Jesus does for us. When we continue on, in verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. My own know me, and I know my own. This word here that Jesus is referring to is the Greek word ginosko. Can we say ginosko? Ginosko. Okay. The Greek word ginosko. And this Greek word isn't just knowledge. Jesus isn't just saying, yeah, I know about you. I have knowledge of you. But this Greek word actually has connotations and connections to personal relationship and intimacy. It's sort of like you might know about me. You might go, oh yeah, Pastor Nate, he's the pastor of spiritual formation and youth ministry at Sunnyside. So you know about me, but you don't know me. If you sit down and have a coffee with me, you begin to know me, and I begin to know you. This is the sort of knowing Jesus is talking about here in this passage. It's not simply Jesus is going, oh yeah, that's one of my sheep. No. He's just talked about this fact that a shepherd names his sheep. A shepherd takes care of his sheep. A shepherd knows each and every individual sheep in his flock. And he knows when they're off. He knows when they're going through something. He knows when they're wounded. He knows when they have joy. And this is the sort of knowing that Jesus is talking about here He's talking to us. This is the sort of knowing that Jesus is talking about here in John 10. He's talking about this personal relationship that just like a shepherd has with his sheep, Jesus is inviting us into a personal relationship with him. And actually, there's this one pastor, speaker, we're actually doing a book study in one of our small groups on one of his books. His name is Sky Dutani. And in one of his books, which is called With, he begins to talk about this relationship that Jesus has with us. He says, life with God is predicated on the view that the relationship is at the core of the cosmos. God the Father with God the Son with God the Holy Spirit. And so we should not be surprised to discover that when God decides to restore his broken relationship with people, he sent his Son to dwell with us. His plan to restore his creation was not to send a list of rules and rituals to follow, in other words, a life under God, nor was it the implementation of useful principles, meaning life over God. He did not send a genie in a bottle to grant us our desires, which is life from God. Nor did he give us a task to accomplish, meaning life, or life from God, meaning life for God. Instead, God himself came to be with us, to walk with us once again, as he had done in Eden in the beginning. Jesus entered into our dark existence to share our brokenness and to illuminate a different way forward. Jesus is alive. He's real. And he changes our lives forever. If we enter into a personal relationship, this personal relationship he is calling us into. In Ezekiel 34, verses 12 to 13, which we also read earlier, it says, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they had been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. Jesus is inviting us into this relationship. So much so that he actually, as he says in Ezekiel, he goes out and he searches for us. He calls out to us. In verse 16, he says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. What's Jesus talking about here? Well, what we need to understand is that Jesus is talking to Jews here. And I've said this before, is that Scripture isn't actually to us, but it's for us. Jesus here is talking to Jewish people. But what he's referring to here in this other verse is Gentiles, is those outside of the bloodline of Abraham. And guess what, guys? That's you and me. And actually, Paul later on talks about this where he says, Jesus brings us into the family of Abraham, even though we might not blood lineage be in it. We begin to be in a spiritual, a spiritual kind of family related to Abraham. And so that's what Jesus is talking about here, is he's saying, I'm not just calling the Jews, I'm calling all of you too. And actually, you're not going to be separate. It's not like, oh yeah, here's my Jewish people and here's all my other people. He's saying, no, here's my flock. Here's my people. Here are my sheep. Jews and Gentiles. Torontonians and Ottawadians? Ottawans. I'm clearly not from Ottawa. I'm from Northern Ontario. But this is what Jesus is saying. Is he invites all into his family. He invites all into his flock. And so there's three things that Jesus is talking about here. First, you are called. In verse 3, he says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You and I are called into his flock, into his care, into his family, into his pasture, into the life-changing journey that is like no other. You're invited. It says in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus doesn't simply call us. He also invites us. And he says, come. Come and enter into a relationship, a personal relationship. Again, think about that quote from Sky Gitani. It's not that God is just sitting in the sky. It's what some philosophers call the clockwork God, where God put everything in motion, just like my watch, and says, okay, I'm going to make this watch, and I'm just going to leave it there, and I'm going to let it do its thing. But God says, no. I enter into a relationship with my people. I don't simply set things in motion and sit back and let it happen. I enter into a personal relationship with each and every one of my people. And finally, you are known. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own. And also, my own know me. When we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus, what begins to happen is we begin to recognize Jesus' voice. We begin to recognize the things that he's calling us towards. We begin to recognize the fact that he is inviting us into a personal relationship with him. We begin to recognize that he does know us individually. So I'll leave you with this one question. Do you hear him calling you by name into this personal relationship? Inviting you into a personal relationship and life-changing journey with him. Do you hear him calling? Do you recognize his voice? Because he's inviting you into the most extraordinary life-changing journey. And all you have to do is say, okay. And wait and see what happens. Because I can guarantee you it's going to be extraordinary. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be extraordinary. Do you hear him calling you by name, inviting you into a personal relationship and life-changing journey with him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the invitation that you offer towards us. Thank you for the personal relationship you have with each and every one of us sitting in this room. And Lord, if there's someone sitting out there who goes, you know what? I don't really have a personal relationship with Jesus. Who's going, you know, I've gone to church my whole life. I know all the right verses. I know all the right prayers. But this whole thing that Nate's been talking about this morning, this fact that Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with me, the fact that Jesus knows me individually, I don't have that. Lord, I pray that today is the day that they enter into that personal relationship. Today is the day that we, as a church, as a body, as a flock, enter into that personal relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.